to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Understand what you read? He said, no, unless the men teach me. And he said in Acts, and then verse 35 says, beginning with that, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about what? And really, I want that in King James. It says, he preached unto him Jesus. And so what I want to do is, we've been doing a little series on Jesus and different ways that he revealed himself to us. And today I'm going to take what I like and enjoy, and hopefully you will too. Do the next scripture if you would. Today I want to talk to you about, two weeks ago was Jesus the shepherd. And then we talked about someone. It says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a what? We know that you are a teacher come from God. So I want to talk to you today about Jesus the teacher. 48 times in the New Testament, he is referred to as the teacher. And he referred to himself. He was referred to by other people. And he is known as the teacher. Everybody say the teacher, would you? And you need to know him not only as shepherd, not only as some other things. You need to know Jesus not only as your Savior, but one of the things you need to know Jesus as is Jesus as your teacher. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you will open our eyes. We pray that you would be the great teacher this morning. Beyond what I say and others say, that you would speak to hearts of men and women, Lord, with a voice that they will never forget. I pray, Lord, that they would meet you and that you would teach them. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen? You may be seated today. Believe it or not, you may not know this, but you need to be taught. And you need to be taught more than Oprah can teach you and Dr. Phil can teach you and your professor can teach you. You need more teaching than that. And the greatest teacher that ever lived on the face of the earth was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, many atheists, they don't believe in God, but they talk about Jesus as a person. And they acknowledge the fact that he was probably one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. We've heard things over and over until it's become dull in our hearing. We don't realize how great a teacher he was. People would follow him even into deserted areas where there was no food for days at a time, just to hear him teach. He was incredible. Matthew 13 and verse 54. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were what? They were astonished, not because of a miracle, because it says he did very few there in his hometown, not because of providing food, but when they heard him teach, the Bible says, they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Look at John chapter 7, if you would. They were astonished. Next scripture, quick. And when the crowd heard it, they were what? Astonished at what? At his teaching, because he was the greatest teacher. He walked in their synagogues where they were used to hearing teaching, and they were absolutely blown away. We just got a few examples of this, but when he would go into a synagogue and begin to teach, the Bible says they were blown away. They were astonished at his teaching. Look at the next scripture. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. I like this. Watch this. Good. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why did you not bring him? And notice their reply. The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. They sent the police after him. And when they came back, the police came back. And there was no Jesus with them. And the headquarters said, why didn't you bring him? And they said, because you should have heard this guy speak. Nobody ever spoke like he spoke. They were absolutely amazing. Look at this. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, this one. It says, now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. They've been asking him a lot, and so he asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said, the son of David. Keep going. And he said to them, how is it then that David is in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, hit that return button. There you go. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Then David calls him Lord. How is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. Come on, somebody. Because they were absolutely astonished at his answers. And it says one time they asked him about, you know, should you pay tax? And they were poised to pounce upon him. And when he finished answering them, the Bible says they were amazed at his answers because he was one of the greatest teachers. And so the question I have this morning, I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus, the teacher, because you need to know him as your teacher. You don't need Pastor Terry always to teach you. You need to examine the things I say. And I've got my place as a teacher in the body of Christ. But ultimately, the teacher that you need most in your life is none other than the greatest teacher that ever lived on the face of the earth. And the amazing thing is, he is willing to teach you if you're willing to learn. He'll take time with you. And so I want to ask this question. What made Jesus such a great teacher? What made him such a great teacher? I'll give you a couple things I found and believe, and then you can add to them on your own. Number one is that he taught authoritatively. When he taught, he didn't mealy mouth around and say, maybe, you know, kind of, you know, who knows, you don't think about it, you know, he may be right. He taught authoritatively. When he spoke, he did not mince his words. He taught authoritatively. In Matthew chapter 7, notice what it says. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. And here's why. Because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Now, what would you understand that to mean? The scribes did not teach with what? They did not teach like they had any authority. And so, in other words, Jesus came into an atmosphere that was dry and dull and boring. And the people that day, they would come to their synagogue, they would get their bulletin, they would sing, they would sit down, and they would endure for 60 minutes, one of the most boring 60 minutes of their entire day. Jesus comes in the atmosphere, and he shows up in that services, and he begins to teach. And the Bible says they were used to hearing the rabbis teach. Now, you need to understand how protocol worked among rabbis of that day. What you may not have realized was it was unethical, and you did not do this. It was a rule among of rabbis was you could never contradict another rabbi. Their thinking was if you contradict another rabbi, then everybody will lose, you know, confidence in the rabbis or in the establishment. So one of the protocols among rabbis was you could never contradict another rabbi. And what it did was it produced the most disjointed teaching you could imagine. In fact, here's what one commentator said. He said it is the dry. There's whole books of commentaries put out by rabbis. And I want you to listen to what one commentator read one. Here's what he said. It is the driest, dullest collection of disjointed comments upon every conceivable problem in the history of mankind. Because you could never contradict another rabbi. So you had to, you know, agree with them. It was like this. You remember if you ever saw Fiddler on the Roof. You remember Fiddler on the Roof? You remember where they were arguing one time and the rabbi is with them. And the men are arguing. And one man says, Rabbi, da-da-da-da. And the rabbi says, you're right. And then the other guy he's arguing with says, but Rabbi, da-da-da-da. And the rabbi said, you're right. And then he looks, he says, Rabbi, they can't both be right. And he says, you're right. And that's how they did. They never could contradict another rabbi. So you can imagine when you went to church, you had the most disjointed, dullest, made no sense, commentaries upon the word. And so, because God is revelatory. Because God is truth. Because every morning it's new and fresh. Every day you can get something new from your God. It's because of that the rabbis, though, had no revelatory knowledge. They were not in touch with God. They could not get new. And so what they did was this. They began to make up rules. Unlike in the book of Revelation, you remember the Bible speaks about the 24 elders that fall down and worship God. And what commentator wrote, and I believed him, he said the reason they do that is, you read in the book of Revelation, they keep doing that. They get back up and they fall down, they worship God again. He says because when they get up, they see something new about God they never saw before, and they fall back down on their face and they worship God again. I've been serving God a long time and I still am amazed at our God. And you know what happens? The rabbis, they weren't in touch with God. And so what happened is this. What the rabbis did was, in place of getting something from God fresh every day, they began to make up rules on what they already had. In fact, when you study the Jewish history, the rabbis made up, listen to this, because they were not getting fresh from God, they made up rules to do with what they already had. God gave, everybody say 10 commandments. God gave, guess how many rules the rabbis made up and the Pharisees made up. Guess how many rules they made up to keep the 10 commandments. 640 rules to keep the 10 commandments. They made up 640 rules to keep the 10 commandments. Boy, I say, I'm glad I didn't live. How many of you have ever been to a church like that? Come on, somebody. I can tell I'm preaching to myself and I'm having a good old time. Come on. One time we started a school in the back called, we've got a Christian Academy in the back. We've had it for many years. Back in the late 70s, I began the school, and I decided to go down to Pensacola to go to the Abeka school. College where the school came out of. And I remember we went down there. I had to go through a week's worth of lessons and on how to create a school. I remember this, the boringest 90 minutes I've ever had in my life was I had to sit in a class on how to make a bulletin board. And they showed you how to make it. Now, some of you, they're teachers. That's beautiful stuff for you. But I'm sitting there at 90 minutes and had to build a bulletin board. And I remember that one of those nights I'd taken my guitar. And I remember I was down there and they had a big campus area, and we were just on the campus, and I was singing, leading worship one night. There's about 10, 15 of us met each other, so we were just worshiping one night. And I remember I was singing that song, "For Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory, the lifter of my..." I'll never forget, I had a tap on my shoulder. And I looked up, and it was one of the leaders from the college. He said, "There's a rule here. We don't allow music like that on our campus." Really? Being a very obedient person, I quit. But let me just say this. I've been to places where there's been more rules on the Bible than there are the Bible. No, you can't wear pants. Come on, somebody. I've told you this. No makeup. Please wear makeup. My one thing about wear it, man. Wear it. Wear it. I grew up. If you had a pool table in your house, there was something wrong with you. I remember when I came here, we had one of our song leaders, Mike Abney, remember at house one time, he had a pool table in his house. Why don't they just say, no fun? You can't have any fun as a Christian and then just be done with it. And let me tell you something. Jesus came into that kind of atmosphere, and he taught with authority what was true and what wasn't true. And he came on the scene and it absolutely destroyed most of the miracles he did on the Sabbath day to deal with this adding to the law that God had sent on the earth. And he began to deal with them, and because, listen, let me tell you why he taught authoritatively, is because he was and is truth. He is and was truth personified. He came from God as the truth. Grace and truth literally walked on the face of this earth one time. And when he spoke authoritatively. You know, the Bible says when the prophets of old would stand on the scene, they would say, "Verily, verily, thus saith the Lord." And when Jesus came on the scene, he stood in the bow of a boat one night and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Come on, somebody. Because he was grace and truth personified. I got one point this morning. Listen to this. The reason I'm saying this is you still have his teachings today. It's called the Bible. Come on, somebody. And he literally taught on this earth. It is true. You know, in John 18, he stood before Pilate one time. I love it because Pilate was the representative. He was the power of the day. He was the authority. He was the government. And Jesus stands before him and he said to him, "So you're a king." And Jesus said, "You say this, I am a king. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." Everybody say truth. Let me tell you, when they tell you that you came from the God of goop, they are not speaking truth. Come on, somebody. When they tell you that nothing collided with nothing and brought to pass, how in the world did that ever get? Listen, we did not come from the God of goop. We didn't come from some, you know, da, da, da. It says, "I was come to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" You know why? Because this world does not know what truth is. They haven't. You know why? Because he was absolutely truth. He was literally. What if I told you, we got a guest next Sunday. I won't be preaching. Next Sunday, we have a guest speaker. Guess who it is? It's Jesus. How many of you would come next Sunday? Some of you are thinking, "I know I'm pretty busy next Sunday." You know what the point is? He will meet with you tomorrow morning in your closet if you let him. He'll be there. If you'll take that Bible, and listen, it's not a novel. It's not a book you can just read and glean like you do all the other novels you read. You need the teacher to teach you his word. And he will show up in your prayer closet. And as you begin to read, listen, that's why I tell you, take time and pray. Say, "God, open my mind. God, teach me, reveal to me." And then get in your prayer closet. The greatest teacher that ever lived will show up in that closet. And he'll teach you and he'll instruct you and he'll guide you. And he'll teach you things you never knew. Listen, he'll be there tomorrow. All right, number two, and I'll do this real quick. Number two, the reason he's such a great teacher. Why is Jesus such a great teacher? Number two is this, that he taught practically. He never said religious nonsense. I've got to tell you, I don't usually preach against people and others, but I turn on the TV or the radio sometimes or on the internet, and I read stuff from people that is absolutely nonsense. Just not. Sometimes I look, I think, why would anybody ever watch that? It's absolute nonsense. Religious. Jesus taught practically. He said this, if you're at odds with somebody, don't go to church. That's what he said. He said, and I'm bringing it up to modern day. He said, if you've got odds, you're at odds with somebody or somebody's at odds with you, leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled, and then come back and deal with the altar. Come on, somebody help me out here. He said things like this, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It's got enough worries of itself. He's practical stuff. He wants you to know how to have a great marriage. If you want to know how to have a great marriage, how to raise kids, how to do a great business, look in the Word of God. It's there. It'll teach you. It'll direct you. And the Bible is not written for theologians. It was written for you and for me. Then number three, why was Jesus such a great teacher? I've already dealt with practical for some other lessons. So I want to do number three is this. He taught graphically. And he did it two ways. He painted pictures and he told stories. Now, let me first go with painting of pictures. The reason he was such a great teacher was he didn't just do this classroom type setting. He painted a lot of pictures. He understood what we're just now understanding about the human psyche, that we think in pictures, not in sentences. The Hebrew way, we think in pictures. Now, let me do something that I don't normally do here, but I want you to close your eyes. I want everybody, I don't have a water pistol. I'm not going to shoot you anything. I want you just to close your eyes just for a minute, all right? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about a camel. Think about a camel. Get a picture of a camel. Now, don't worry about whether it's one hump or two hump. I know some of you are legal. I know some of you are detailed. I want you to just get a camel. Just get a camel in your mind. See a camel, all right? Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to look down and look at your hand and look between your thumb and your forefinger. And I want you to see yourself holding a needle, all right? I want you to just hold a needle there in your hand. Then I want you to turn it sideways. And those of you that can do it without your glasses, I want you to see the hole. See the hole there at the top of the needle where the thread goes through? All right? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that camel and cram it through the eye of that needle. All right, open your eyes. He told that story one time. Now, let me ask you, when I told you to do that, what's the one word that came in your mind? What? Everybody put it together. That's the word I got. Look, see, we got that word up there. Look at it. We got that same word up there. Everybody say impossible. And that was what he wanted. The people that day got it. It was impossible. Take that camel and cram it through the eye of a needle. It wasn't anything to do with the little gate, half gate and all that. Oh, that's nonsense. He was talking about a needle. The thing was something that was absolutely impossible. He was saying this. He said, for some people, it's impossible for them to get to heaven. And they said, how can anybody? And then he said, what's impossible? He said, what's impossible with you is possible with God. Come on, somebody. He was saying, you can't make your way to heaven by yourself. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven. He said, you need a Savior. A Savior can do what's impossible with man. He can possible with a living God. Come on, everybody give glory. Give a clap offering. Come on, give him. Impossible. Hey, let's do it one more time. Close your eyes. Close your eyes one more time. I want you to see yourself with a chainsaw. I want you to have the biggest chainsaw you ever had in your life. It's sharp. It's been sharp and brand new. I want you to see yourself now going out into the woods. And I want you to see yourself cutting down one of the biggest trees you ever cut down in your life. Miss your car, you know, and let it fall the other way from your car. Let it fall on the ground. Then now I want you to see yourself hop on top of that log. And I want you to see yourself cutting every limb off that log. Just, I mean, it's a sharpie. It's going so fast. And then go up to the top and cut the top off. And you've got a perfect log right there. I want you to see. Now you see it? See it? You got a perfect log. You shaved all the limbs off. Now I want you to pick. Now lay down your chainsaw. I want you to pick that log up and jam it into your eye. All right, open your eyes. Now, I want you to see. Now, listen. Now, I want you to go around to everybody else in this church, and I want you to get on them about the speck that's in their eyes. They got a little bitty splinter. I want you to get on everybody. I did that analogy here one day. I had a big old log. And I want you to see yourself trying to get the splinter out of everybody else's eye.
Going to get a better amen this morning.
That's a story Jesus told. He painted, listen, he would tell stories. He was graphic in how he talked. Listen, they got the picture. He told another story about a vineyard. And he said, man, there was a vineyard one time, and there was a guy that owned it. He had workers, and he sent servants to go get the money, and they beat him and killed him. Finally, he sent his son, and he killed the son. Now, I want you to get the next scripture, because here's what you need to get. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was doing what? Do you know what our problem is? We don't know he's talking about us.
Can I get a better amen?
We think he's talking about the bad people, the other people, the honor people, our bosses, our wives, our husbands, our kids. We don't know he's talking about us. And they perceived we don't understand what he said, but he's talking about us. We know he's talking about us. They perceived that he was talking about them. Listen, that's one of the things about being a teacher. One time Jesus said, think about the birds. In fact, he said, think about a sparrow. And you may be a bird lover. I'm not being bad about this, but a sparrow is the most worthless bird there is. Let me say this. It's an unnecessary bird. Let me say it another way. It's one of the most insignificant birds there is in the bird kingdom. And Jesus, think about the birds. Look at somebody say, hey, this is for the birds. Now, think about the birds. And he said, not one bird will fall off this. You know, we got a light line. Not one bird will fall off that line and fall to the ground. Not just that our Father knows it, but that God is there. When one worthless, insignificant bird falls to the ground, God is there. Read what it said, Matthew. Look what it says. Go to the next scripture. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny because they're worthless? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from what? Can I tell you, the other month I got a call with my rent houses, and I called B&D Plumbing. And he said, you need to come over here. I need to talk to you. Because the heater wouldn't come on. It was last winter. The heater wouldn't come on. Well, I got over there. He had taken the exhaust pipe out of the house. And he said, look at this. I said, what is it? There were 5 dead birds in this exhaust pipe. He said, I've never saw. In the winter, they'd gone in. Somehow the screen had fallen. And they felt the warmth. And they'd gone there. And a bird had built a nest and then died because of the heat. Another one come on, built a nest on top of that one, built and died. 5 of them in this one exhaust pipe. I thought, God's been in my exhaust pipe 5 times. Come on, somebody. Listen, one time I was on my way to church. I'll never forget this. I was driving from out Central area, heading to church. I'll never forget this. And I saw a bird fall to the ground and die. I'll never forget that. And I remember the presence of God. And I just knew this. The Bible says God, if wonder where God is in the universe, he's right here, at least right now. He's right here where this bird fell. Jesus taught. He gave pictures like that. He said, think about your hair. He talked about that. Some of you that, you know, what little you have left. Think about it, he said. Think about the change in your pockets. Think about your lamps in your house. Think about the flowers around your house. Think about your pearl necklace. Think about your dogs. Think about your pigs. Come on, everybody say amen. He was an incredible teacher. He would take these practical things and give these incredible truths. He took objects and taught us. He painted such pictures. I went through this pretty fast, didn't I? He took these practical things and taught amazing truths out of them. Not only did he paint pictures, but he also told stories. And this is the second way. Many times we don't get them because he taught in the culture of his day. He didn't say a guy got on a jet and flew over to such and such. Because I believe he knew all about it. But that was not the culture of the day. And so he envelops the truth he wants to teach in the culture of his day. And the truth in these stories are still relevant today. So I want to take 2 of his stories in ending this morning. Update them a little bit and have them for us today. Is that okay today? Let me update 2 of his stories he told. There was a man driving down Gardeer Lane. You know where Gardeer Lane is. And he had a flat tire, and it was late in the evening. When he got out on Gardeer Lane, a gang of guys down there grabbed him. Robbed him, beat him, stabbed him over and over, and then shot him and then ran off. Left him for dead. Coming down the road was the Archbishop of Baton Rouge. Who's the Archbishop right now of Baton Rouge? Who's the Bishop of Baton Rouge? Catholic Church. You guys are excommunicated. That's it. You are excommunicated. They say the Archbishop of the Catholic Church, Baton Rouge, run by in his limousine, coming by, and the limousine driver says, Archbishop, there's a man laying down there, and he's bleeding. Look at that. Somebody will call him on the cell phone. Keep going. I'm busy. I got a lot to do. Next car, pastor of a famous church over on Flannery Road is coming right down to Gardeer Lane. He looks over to his left, and there in the road is a guy lying, stabbed and shot. And his wife says, Pastor Terry, let's stop and help him. And Terry says, no, we got a hospital visit we got to go do. We're on our way. We got compassion to show. Somebody will help when we go on by. I'm updating the story for you, okay? I'm updating the story. And then a single mom comes by. She just got off her second job. She ran by the grocery store. She'd picked up enough food for tonight. She's on her way home because her kids need homework done. She needs to clean the house, wash the clothes. She needs to finish homework, get the kids bathed, and then get them in bed, and then get back up in the morning and start all over again. And she comes by, and she glances, and she sees him lying there, and she pulls her car over. She gets out, begins to weep, helps him in her car. Since her nearest hospital around there is the lake, she drives him over to the lake. He has no, because he can't speak, he has no identification. They've robbed him blind. She puts up the security to be able to get him into the hospital. Come on, somebody. That's how graphically he taught. Let me tell you one more. Guy lived out in Dim Springs, owned his own business. Big company, things are going good. His son helps him run the business. And he'll take over. You can tell he's just geared for that. But his other son is a drug addict. Rebellious, won't ever come, won't go to school, didn't do good grades. And finally, when he turned 18, he got a hold of his Merrill Lynch trust fund. Used to be worth a lot, wasn't worth much now. He got a hold of his Merrill Lynch trust fund. Got it, told his dad, I'm leaving, I got my trust fund. His dad loved him, but was smart enough, said, you know what, some people are going to have to climb Fool's Hill. Come on, somebody's going to have to. Sometimes you've got to let, and he realized you've got to let him go climb Fool's Hill. Buys him a ticket, flies to Vegas, gets up in one of the penthouses and starts rolling. Every night's a new group, every night's a new girlfriend, every night's, he can't believe how gorgeous the casinos are and how friendly everybody is and on, and months go by until the day they run his Visa card for the second time and it's declined. Checks his things. He's 30-some thousand owed on the Visa. Checks his Chase account. He's overdrawn in his Chase account. He cannot believe he's gone through it all. Goes down, talks to the manager of the hotel. He's sympathetic, but no, we can't extend credit. You already owe this much more. He hadn't gone through. Next thing he knows, he's out on the street walking with his suitcase. Spends the first few nights in the casino, and finally they catch up with him, kicks him out, and he tries every casino, and finally, he's out of places to go spend the night, and he ends up on the street. He ends up eventually working in a flea bag hotel, cleaning restrooms. And one day, Joe comes in his mind. Joe's the last employee his dad hired. He remembered Joe. Wasn't real smart, but man, he's got his dad put him up. His dad gave him, he's got a good job. And he thinks, you know what? Joe's got a better job than I got. He works long enough to get enough money to get a Greyhound bus ticket. Buys it. About 4.5 days later, he gets from Vegas to Dim Springs. Didn't have enough money to eat. Been those few days drinking water, grabbing what he can out of trash cans. He gets to Dim Springs, and he's too ashamed to call his dad, tell him he's in Denham. So he starts walking home. Cuts that last street where they live, and he's looking down there, and all of a sudden the front door opens. His dad's coming out, ready to go to work that morning. Got his jacket over him, got a tie on, got his briefcase in hand. And his dad, for some reason, looks up and looks down the street and throws what he's got in his hands down and takes off running down Lockhart Road, just on a dead run, and grabs his son. And his son had been practicing what he was going to say. He's going to say, Dad, I've blown it. I took my trust fund. I've wasted it. He knew they all knew that because people had been he'd been calling friends on his cell phone and telling them what a great life and everything. So they all knew it. And when he got there, his dad, and he starts to tell his story. Dad, I'm sorry. Dad, I'm, and his dad will not even let him finish. His dad says, hey, you won't believe what we've done since you've been gone. We remodeled your room. Come look at the clothes. I got you a whole new thing of clothes over here. And there's a new Silverado sitting in the garage, your name on it. Takes him to work that day, says, look who's here. Shows him off to everybody at work. Calls Brunet's, rents out the entire restaurant that night. Has everybody come over that night. And his son tries to tell him, Dad, I'm sorry. And you know what? His dad stops him. And you know what? Listen. He won't even let him finish his I'm sorry speech. You know why? Because the dad had been practicing his welcome home speech longer than the son had been practicing I'm sorry speech. Come on, somebody. Come on, give him a good clap offering. You know, the one of the greatest things I've ever found in my life is you need the teacher in your life. Jesus was the greatest teacher ever lived. We end with this. I know I said I ended, but that's just the first ending. This is a real ending. One time after he died, and before everybody knew he resurrected, though he'd already resurrected, two of them one night got up and they were sad and broken beyond words. It was like last night for 3 minutes. You know what I mean? It was like last night for 3 minutes. See, now, let me tell you what we did. We were watching, Jennifer and I and Kirby and Ben, we were watching the game. Now, my wife went to the game, but we were watching the game on TV. And when that ending happened, we cut the TV off. We fired Les Miles. They had a birthday party to go to, out laser tag, out. So they got in the car and they just took off the laser tag. I'm sitting there thinking, how long, oh Lord? How long? And for some reason, in a minute, I call up, I just turn the TV back on, and I saw a orange clad player down on the ground weeping. You understand what I mean? And when I found out the truth, I called Benjamin. I said, Ben, we won. What? We won. What? We won. What? We won. And they turned around, came back to the house. We were taping it. We backed it all up and watched the whole thing. How many know a little bit of truth can change your whole situation? In Acts 20 and Luke 24, rather, two guys, Jesus is dead. No, nobody, and watch this. That day, very two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are loading with each other as you walk? And they stood still doing what? Come on, all the sad people say amen this morning. Let me tell you what you need this week. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. If you're heavy hearted, if you're sad, if you're weighted down, if you're going through, let me tell you what you need. You don't need a miracle worker. Let me tell you what you need this week. You need the teacher to come to you. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from sadness and bondage. And he said to them, they stood still looking sad. Go to the next scripture. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with, how many would love to have a CD of this? Would you buy the DVD of this? Beginning, here's the teacher. Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the greatest teacher that ever lived, interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Not go on. Next, watch this. Look at the effect this had on them. Their eyes were open. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn? Everybody say burn. You want your hearts to burn this week? Get along with the teacher and let him show you something. Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour. They were sad. They were tired. They'd gone almost 20 miles. They had renewed energy, renewed strength. Got up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, the Lord has risen indeed, appeared to Simon. And they told what he had happened on the road, and now he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let me tell you something this morning. One of the keys, get the video ready. We're going to bring all the lights down. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus still amazing you in your? Are you just, I got to read another Bible, got to read the rest of this Bible? Listen, you need to let his teachings become real and new to you again, and they will burn in your hearts. You'll get rid of it, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever lived on the face of the earth, will teach you personally and private. Are you astonished at his? Watch this morning. Thank you.
tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me. Covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me.
Clap offering day. Would you do that with me? Okay. Everybody stand up. And last question, are you still astonished? Are you still amazed at him? Father, this morning I just pray for everyone here, especially if somebody's here that doesn't know you yet, has you know, maybe they're searching and a seeker and they're wanting to maybe know more about you. Lord, would you just reveal yourself in the next few days? Would you show yourself strong? Would you show yourself, Lord? And Lord, there's so much that the world tries to astonish us by, but You are so amazing, God. And this morning, if you know, one of the ways you do it is you just say, Lord, would you show yourself to me? You just ask the Lord. So it says, all that look unto him will be saved. It's not complicated. Not 640 rules to add to the Ten Commandments the Lord given or the Bible. It's no, he's living. He knows your heart. There's no step by step by step by step. All you do is all that cry out, all that reach out, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say, Lord, it's like when you go to a doctor, you don't say, you don't know, have all the wisdom of the doctor. You just say, doctor, I hurt right here. It's what's happening. It's this is going on. And what you do is you go to God. He's a great physician. And you say, Lord, I know there's something wrong with me. Would you heal? Lord, would you be my savior? And all you do is say, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me. I know I'm wrong. I know I've done wrong. Would you forgive me of everything I've done? And what is impossible with man? You may have tried to scrub your conscience clean of some stuff, but you'll never get it clean. But that which is impossible with man. Remember the camel through the eye of a needle? Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And you cannot clean yourself enough to be righteous. But the one who died in your place can make you righteous. And he can cleanse you by the shedding of his blood. He can cleanse you. And this morning, all you do is say, Christ, Jesus, would you save me? Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I want to be saved. And then what happens then, that which you thought was nonsense becomes bread to you every day, comes truth to you. So, Father, right now, would you, every heart that's hungry, every heart that's crying out, Lord, you spoke in parables at times so that those that act like they can see will not see. But those that own up to the fact that we're blind, you'll speak truth to us. And I ask you right now, Lord, would you speak truth and the truth would set them free? Would you speak to them as the greatest teacher that ever lived on the face of the earth and save them? Lord, we love you this morning. I pray for my church now, Lord. I just pray this week in our church. I ask you, Lord, that you would come in our quiet times and be the great teacher to us. Teach us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Give Lord one more good clap off. Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Go hug somebody. Would you do that? Turn and hug somebody. And God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday.